Approaching on a 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. On at 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here.
We are concerned not merely with the technical problem of securing and maintaining peace, but also with the important task of education and enlightenment.
There's a few other events, though, at Skinwalker Ranch that I don't think kind of fully fit into this, to be the devil's advocate here for a minute.
Sure.
Colm Kelleher and the ranch guy driving down the back road in the wintertime, and they shine the flashlight up ahead on the road, and they see these two huge eyeballs up ahead, which is an animal with reflective eyes high up in a tree. And so I guess Terry gets all excited. He's like, you know, something, and they drive up, and it's just fresh snow, and then as soon as they shine the flashlight on it, the eyes disappear, and they realize it's a big animal, it's up in a tree, and Terry sees it, he says it jumps out of the tree, and then disappears. They see two footprints in the snow, and they're like two bird prints, or two raptor prints, and they hear noises. They're like, what kind of, you know, it's like cryptozoology kind of craziness. So what would, you know, how would you explain that?
But that happens, that's all over paranormal phenomena. 1976, here, 50
maybe
miles
it's
out
a byproduct of some sort, you know?
But it's always going to be some sort of phenomena that will appear based upon your... So in Brazil, you're going to see these things that are like chupacabra things, that are sucking blood. Whereas here, we're going to see animals or... I always talk about the thing in Peru, everybody's seeing these panthers or whatever they see or whatever. It's this cultural thing. And you get into the whole thing of what are Sasquatch. There was one 50 miles from the city, and I always said to people, if you think that Sasquatch are physical animals that are hiding in trees, you need to go to Portage la Prairie and take a look around. I mean, there's like one tree per mile, and it's as flat as a billiard table. There's no way a 9-foot Sasquatch is going to hide in Portage la Prairie. There's no
What's the story of that? I didn't know.
Well, I got this report that the Sasquatch had been seen looking in this 9-foot window. And this is that there's an Air Force base there. There was an Air Force base there before. This is on the south fence. And so I went there, and I could see the house with this bi-level house with this window. And then there was this Aboriginal tracker guy who was explaining the whole thing. There's about five houses on this street. And he said his dog was trying to come off the leash, and it was like a metal chain he was on. And he said the dog was almost choking himself. He's trying to get off this thing. And this happened in the middle of the night. And the woman, her kid had colic. So she's up in the middle of the night with this kid. And she looks, and this thing's looking in the window. And she freaks out. And then the guy tracks it. He's about 250 pounds. Big, huge guy. He takes his dog. And they follow this thing in behind, and there's a creek, and there's some trees along the edge of the creek there. And he says to go along, and he says, you can see he showed me the broken branches and stuff as it went into this little clearing. It's just a small bunch of bushes there, and this open area, and he shows me broken branches, and he said it was in the spring, so the snow had melted, and then it had frozen. And he said he was 250 pounds, and he didn't break through the snow, and this thing broke through the snow. And I saw it, there was no snow there at the time, but he showed me the broken branches. It went, the tracks went into the middle of this clearing, and then they stopped.
And then disappeared. Same at Skinwalker Ranch, when they were tracking the wolf that they saw the first day. They said they tracked it, and the wolf went down into the creek, footprints went into the mud and then gone.
Yeah.
A lot of stories like that. Yeah. Interesting. Could be maybe egregores or something. How do you say it? Egregores?
Egregores.
Weird manifestations of bizarre psychic energy.
That's like the Philip experiment.
Yeah, well, there's a prime example, the Philip experiment, which shows that these things can
you
can
make
appear.
It, the egregore, you make, you people make it. Make
so
it.
That whatever that being is in the tree, you're creating this. This is this Bashar thing. That or like Deepak Chopra says, everything is an activity inside consciousness. There's nothing outside of consciousness. And so the Philip experiment was done in Toronto in the early 1970s, and they had this idea. There's eight people sitting around a table, and they said, oh, let's make a ghost. So there was Philip. He lived in the 16th century.
Oh, yeah.
And he had this wife, and she was frigid, and she was very rich, and he lived on this big property or whatever, and then he gets involved with this other woman, and he hides her in one of the property, one of the buildings on the property or whatever, and then his wife finds out, and then to get rid of this whole thing, he accuses his wife of witchcraft, or is that how it went?
Something like that.
No, the girl. She accuses this woman of being a witch, and he goes along with it, and she gets hung.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then he's so distressed that he goes into the turret, and he jumps and commits suicide. So they made this whole bloody story up. And then they're sitting there and meditating for a whole year, and then it's the same thing with the vibration. It didn't work. They tried to meditate, nothing worked. And then someone said, do what they do in seances. So they started singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall. And they're doing this activity, and they're all excited, and they're dancing and singing, whatever. And Philip, and all of a sudden the table starts to move. And Philip is answering all their questions. And then the person, they would sing these songs. But if the person who was there that wanted the song wasn't there, Philip didn't know the song. And so they created this ghost that actually manifested. Wow. And that's this whole idea that we are part of what's happening around us. And it can be whatever we want, but it'll be cultural in terms of where you're raised as to what you're going to see. Almost like the deities, where you have this guy who has these download experiences, with the mathematician guy, and he lives in India, and he's talking to the Indian gods. And they're giving him all these mathematical formulas. It's a very famous case, these elaborate formulas that he was able to do. So he wasn't talking to Jesus, because there was no Jesus. He's talking to Indian gods, that it's your thing, but you're still manifesting what that is, and it makes it real. That's the bottom line of this whole thing, is that we are part of what we're observing. That we think there's this separation, there's that thing, and then there's us, and there's no connection. When in terms of the fact that even I have the thing with the contact, I don't tell the story of the contacts. Kind of weird how it works. So I get the contact done in this side, the cataract taken out, and then I get this eye, and then I go in on the same day, and they test your eyes right away. So I go in, and she says, I'm doing this eye, the second eye, and she says, what can you read on the eye chart? And I says, absolutely nothing. I get the big E. I couldn't even see the big E. I said, absolutely nothing. She said, well, it's the same day as the operation, so it'll get better. And I'm thinking, so you have this idea that what you see is what you see. So the cataract is taken out. They put a clear lens in there. You would figure, like, shit, I should
be able to see anything.
Instantly click. And I couldn't see anything. And it's still, this eye is not very good. So then she says to me, oh, it'll get better. Your brain has to learn how to see again. That it has learned to see with the cataract. And that once it's learning again how to bring it in, the old idea, have you ever seen the experiment they do with the glasses, where they take the glasses and you flip the image upside down, and the person walks around, he's stumbling around for a half a day, and then suddenly he starts getting better, and within 2 days the image flips it. Or the idea that a child, when the first 2 weeks that a child is born, the images are all upside down, and that as he learns, the mind takes the image and flips it around. And then when the guy takes the glasses off after a couple days, the image is again upside down again, and it takes him a couple days, but the brain relearns it. Hmm. And like my eye is now relearning how to see, and that's the whole thing. So we believe.
So it's proving that what we see is not what
exactly.
is reality.
Or this eye, that there's a blank spot in your eye. This eye thing, there's a blank part in your eye that's filled in.
That's a holographic universe.
Is
filled with all those examples. Do you know that one? That's the scariest one I've ever...
Yeah.
I almost lost my mind when I read that.
Yeah, this.
It shows that on the holographic universe page, right, when you open the book, and he has two big, huge circles where your optic nerves join into your eyes, and he says it's impossible for you to see there because there is no part of the brain there. It's where your optic nerves are coming in. So you can't ever, like, right here, it's impossible for me to know what's here because... It's impossible. So it's like the left brain interpreter. It's literally lying and filling in the pixels and the gaps of what is here in your eye. No matter where you're looking ever, this is always a lie. Your brain is just filling in what it thinks is there, and it's never what is actually in what is actually there.
And that's where Bashar goes, is that you believe that you're seeing stuff that's out there, and Deepak Chopra and all these people say, no, you got to realize that everything is a sense. You're feeling, you're tasting, you're smelling. It's all going in, and where's the screen? It's all being interpreted, and there is no color, there is no smell, there is none of this kind of, it's all just electromagnetic stuff. We got to realize it's coming from the inside out, and so that when you sense something, when you see something, you're picking it up, but it's your vibration that you're on a different level. Or what happens when you're psychedelic? Where remember when Chase told us, when he said that thing, he did the DMT thing, and he says, I was a classic abduction experience. I said, really? You want it? Because there's a story that 25% of all the DMT are classic abduction experiences. And I said, really? You were on a classic? He said, yeah, I was on a table and they were working on my head and I could see their arms. I couldn't see them or whatever. The guy isn't anywhere. He is not on a table. He's in 10 minutes on a couch. And that's the whole people that you can raise the vibration, or when you go out of body, You're there, but your consciousness is somewhere else. We have to realize that it's all within. It's all this. The mind is not. We have this illusion. We keep falling in the illusion that we're seeing stuff around us when it's all going in and it's being created in this mind that can move anywhere it wants. And
it's the same with the hypnagogic and the hypnopompic too. So I have those so often that I wake up and I'm sitting on the side of my bed and I turn the light on because I can see it first and I'm like, what the hell is that? I turn the light on, I'm sitting there, I see something, and obviously it's not there. So the scientific interpretation is that it's a hallucination, right? That you're still dreaming even though you're awake, but it's as real as you could possibly imagine. And I'm awake because I'm sitting up, I'm looking, and I'm speaking, saying to, you know, my boyfriend or whatever, like, what the hell is this? I have the light on, I'm sitting there, the dog's up, everyone's up, and then it eventually just fades. So it's like, where did that image come from?
Yeah, and that's the thing with psychedelics that I find most bizarre.
It's so real.
It's so real. Like, when those military obviously. Guys came, I'm telling you, it was like as real as could be. I mean, I'm going to Deb Fruin, can you do a thing?
Tell me the story again.
Well, this is this thing where, and I didn't realize it until later, this was the breakdown of the ego, because they were doing the thing where they're doing the sitting on the chest, so almost like the old hag, where they're choking me. And the first time it was kind of scary.
So
but
something you're so feeling in this psychedelic state when you're doing much.
But you're not feeling in the psychedelic, it is happening. It is actually, like I can walk around, I can go to the bathroom or whatever, I'm cold, totally wide awake, it's not like you're totally gone. And this thing's on your chest and you can't breathe and you're going, oh, you know. And then it's like it chokes you and kills you, but that's killing the ego. And you surrender, so then you surrender, and then the second time they're sitting on my chest and I can't breathe, and I go, oh, yeah, you did that already, I know that one already. And it didn't, but that's what they're doing. So what happened was they ran out of all these other ways of where they put this woman come in and you lost control and you're in hell and stuff like, and you're praying to get out and I'll never do it again and all this sort of stuff, and you surrender. And then I guess they ran out. They never do the same thing. They did the sitting on the chest twice, but usually it's different something every time.
So they're trying to scare you,
they're getting you to disengage with your ego, because they're not going to take you into that world until you do. And so then when it got to like session number 22 or 23, that's when this weird thing started, where the guy was peeking, where I'm sitting there, and I was like, geez, like someone's looking at me. And it was, I'm telling you, it was as real as real could be.
And it was a guy,
and he was right there, and he was on this computer, and I said, did you hack reality? And boom, he was gone like that.
Wow.
And I was scared as could be. And then the next time I go in, that's when they said to me, the second time, they said, I had this test, and they said, well, you're going to die, man. Yeah, you're going to die. Yep, absolutely, you're dying. And it was like, I was freaked out. And then these guys are back again, and this time they're on the right-hand side, but there's more than one guy. And I'm telling you, it's as real as real. These guys are there, and I'm talking to them. And that's when the guy says, I've got the note somewhere, but he said, I still remember the one line, he said, we've decided to make the game more exciting. And this is a simulated universe thing. We've decided to make the game more exciting. We're going to take your piece off the board. You talk about scared, man. I came out of that, and I was like... And then the third time they did it again, and then I had another bad experience after that, and then I said, oh, God, I don't know if I can do it. And I haven't done it since. I mean, it's sort of like, when you get that ego thing where they go after your ego, I mean, they can, and that's why when the guy, when Lekatsky and or these three special forces guys say they wouldn't go back on the ranch, people have no idea what they can do. It's a mental thing. They can absolutely make you think you're in hell and you're never getting out. And so people think, you know, how scary could it be? But you get these special forces guys who are like totally life flipped upside down, and then it's falling around the house and all this kind of stuff, and stuff's happening, wine bottles flying around. I mean, this is...
What do you think about the argument where guys say that all these bizarre things happening at the ranch are just another group of the government experimenting?
Oh, well, if they have that, man. Yeah. But again, you go to the thing. This is not just happening on the ranch. That's the point where I wanted to bring with Desta, is that this is standard stuff. When I saw the symbol thing, and then I heard this thing about shutting it off, that there's no way these people shut this thing off. Then I'm going, I'm stupid. I should have known this. That this is you, and you see across all, we did the contact modality book. We got all these contact modalities, and they all have that same sort of principle, that there's this world out there, a different vibration or whatever, that you can link into it. But you have these protocols that you've got to treat it with respect. You can't go in there, and that's the problem these guys had, is they decided that they were in charge, and the phenomena basically said, no, we're running the show. And when I understood the thing that they had linked into that negative thing, then it was, yeah, they are dealing with demons. This is whatever you want to call it, and wherever it's coming from is another issue, whether it's curses or... Because you know, simple ghost stuff, when they're walking down... I may have repeated this before, but when they're going down there, and these three guys, and the way they describe it is they're walking down this road, and all of a sudden the temperature drops 20 degrees. As soon as I heard that, I go, that's ghosts. That's like everybody that goes in a haunted house will say, the temperature dropped. There's this cold thing. And they said they could feel this negative energy. So they're vibrating with this negative energy, and they're all in this state. And then they back away, the temperature goes back to 70 degrees, and they go back in and it drops 20 degrees again. This fear comes over, and that's when they get the message, like, leave, you're not welcome. And they got the impression, you take one more step and you are dead. Mm-hmm. And that's this whole idea that you look at ghost stuff and you go, this is just ghost stuff.
I think at the Skinwalker Ranch, almost every aspect of paranormal UFO things have happened. They had They had lights that flew across the field at night. They had Bigfoot, cryptos. They had wolves, cattle mutilations, ghosts, paranormal.
But they happen all over the world. That's the thing. Like, we had the Sasquatches here. We had the orbs. I mean, how many orbs stories have we got, you know, in terms... I had the orbs in 76 where, you know, I was going to jump on this thing and stuff like that. That this is standard paranormal stuff. And whether they didn't bring in the right people, they just brought in a bunch of materialist people who believed it was, you know, nuts and bolts, we'll figure this thing out, we're smart guys, or whether they're hiding it, whether it's the Kit Green thing, where they know all this stuff behind the scenes, and they're just playing this game of hiding the cards and putting this other story out that sort of distracts people into the nuts and bolts thing. Because sometimes you look at it and you wonder, like, they've got to know. You see some of the stuff where, you know, you hear about the rituals they're doing and all this kind of stuff, or ancient stuff, and even with who mentioned the Loch Ness Monster thing? Was that you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this idea that you see this back, that these guys understood this concepts 100 years ago.
That was 1800s, yeah, 1880s.
Yeah, that you have these that people have done this, and you even get this idea that you hear that the CIA is working on all this kind of stuff, and that would make sense, that they're trying to back engineer this stuff, they're trying to get control of this,
using any means possible to,
and that it would, and the Canadians were told it was a highly classified subject in the United States, which it would be. I mean, if this is how reality actually works, that if you understand this, then they're trying to hide that, the fact that they know a lot of this stuff. Or even where did they say, or with Tom DeLonge, when Tom DeLonge goes on to the skiff, the Lockheed skiff, and the head scientist says to him, I just want to know, how did they get here? How does it work? And he says, he's hanging around with Greer. So he says, oh, I think consciousness is involved. And the guy said, now you're talking. And DeLonge said, for 45 minutes, that's all the guy wanted to talk about was consciousness. Mm-hmm. So they had, and they may not understand exactly how it works, but they know, because Chris Bledsoe flew the ship, all these people have flown the ship, they've got to know that there's this sort of wild end. And it would be very highly classified. If it's military, if it's got to do with weapons, they want to back engineer this stuff. And so the Skinwalker thing, they made a big deal out of this thing. But when you take out all the sort of the shadow people that you can explain because they happen all over the place. When you take out all the orbs, orbs happen all over the place in different perspectives. What's left in the book? There's nothing left in the book. There's like you take out the Nimitz thing, that's all that's left. But all the stuff that they talk about, all the stuff about the, you know, the kid being bombarded and the shadow people and all that kind of stuff, that's ordinary paranormal stuff. There's really nothing in there. And they're making it to me like this national security issue. And, you know, they're selling it, which appears they're going to get what they want, because the Congress people don't know either. And the people that may know are sitting in the background, and we'll see where it goes. But I was shocked when I saw this, the symbol thing. That was like beyond bizarre when I saw it, when I realized that was the music for The Exorcist.
The symbol of the tubular bells.
Tubular bells.
So what do you think, just to, we'll close up after this, what do you think the significance of symbols and symbology is connected to Skinwalker Ranch and some of this more esoteric stuff?
Well, that's what Jim Semivan told Chris Bledsoe. He said, they created us and they talk in symbols. Pay attention to the symbols, whatever the symbols are. And that would be in terms of everybody's, like the triangle. Like why would Chris Bledsoe get this medal, 24 karat gold, one of a kind, appearing to come from Camp David? Why would he be given this thing of the triangle, which seems to be a major symbol? People got triangles on their wrist. Why do they put triangles on their wrist and stuff like that? And I think a lot of that is the theory of wow, but in terms of symbols, and that would be the right brain, left brain thing. So you, if you're a rational, analytical, you know, guy that's into science or whatever, you're going to want language. You're going to want levels and colors and measure it and all this kind of stuff. But it's right brain. That's why they said it's Caleres. They said the guy ran Caleres said, the weird thing was, he said, all the injuries are on the left side of the body. All implants are on the left side of the body, which is run by the right brain, the female brain. Hmm. So the female brain, if you do with remote viewing, they talk about the analytical overlay. You've got to shut down. That's Joe McMonagle says. The only thing you have to do is empty your mind. Shut down the left brain. Anything that you leave in there is going to interfere with your target. It's going to interfere. It's going to be an analytical overlay. And right brain is all going to be smell, taste, image. It's all images. It's all symbols in the right brain. The left brain is the one that's into the language and all this kind of stuff. Right. So they're talking in this left brain. That's why Bashar says, we come to you in your dreams because now you're in our world. They're in this right brain world that is all symbolic and stuff like that.
And you have symbols all over UFO cases, abduction cases, and all through the occult too. Symbols everywhere. Symbols is a very powerful tool, I think.
Yeah, even the language, where they make people memorize the language and whatever, and they say, I don't understand it, and they say, you know, you'll when the time is right, you'll understand it, and these people can, you know, read these things.
Well,
yeah, symbols are very
Benny
important.
Betty Andreasen, when they being showed her the book, she said it was a book of symbols that she could understand, symbols.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the key. That's right brain, that it's all symbols, and once you move away and you try to analyze it and put it into language, or the idea that this is, it goes back to this download thing, everything is a verb. It's all consciousness. There are no nouns. The minute you say this is a noun, you miss the point, because it's all made out of consciousness, and we want to always make it into objects and stuff like this. And it's all a big giant verb. It's all alive. It's all growing. It's all, you know, stuff like that. And we get sucked into the illusion of objects and, you know, them and us and forces and all this kind of stuff, where the more powerful language, the more powerful thing where the beings are, is they realize they're not doing anything magical. They just understand how it works. They understand this consciousness aspect of this thing that. And especially when you see the left brain thing, what I would pick up that nobody else would pick up, the thing when I saw the Caleres thing, when this guy said the weirdest thing was all the injuries of all these people that are claiming these injuries were all on the left side of the body, and I go, oh, geez, it's pretty significant to me.
Pretty significant, yeah. Grant, amazing conversation. I just have one request.
Yeah.
Whenever you don't manifest any Bigfoots out my window tonight, I'm
not doing that. You're the one. I can't manifest for you. That's the sure thing. All right.
I'll try.
You have to clear your mind. Clear your mind. And if you do get it, go up to it, give it a big hug and kiss.
That's
right. Be a positive being and give you a positive message.
Right on. Thanks, Grant.
Okay.
That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.